sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you to Radio Masterpieces, where every week you'll hear the best of the radio from the past century, from the 1940s and 1950s, from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock p.m. This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, where every week we search high and low to find you the best radio drama of the 1940s and early 1950s. Tonight is no exception. We start out with a delicious adventure with The Whistler. The Whistler was, as I said last week, began in 1942, but the interesting part about The Whistler is it's almost like an Alfred Hitchcock movie on your radio every single week, because The Whistler always has a very, very surprising ending. And then you've always heard about Gene Kelly, the wonderful dancer, and Singing in the Rain and everything. Well, now he's going to dance across your radio, and you'll get to listen to another delicious mystery from the Suspense series. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com, and I'll be sure and answer them. Just have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. And now, let's enjoy our great masterpieces.
On the Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, where the sunshine seldom shines, up in Seattle, all the whistles go and the bells go, and the ferry boats are chugging right along, right along.
All the people love to ride the Blue Pacific on the Black Ball Ferry Line, to be specific.
While the whistles go and the bells go,
and the ferry boats are chugging right along, right along.
Up on the upper deck, the view is great by heck. You love your Galapec and you're in clover. And when the whistles blow, you hate to go below,
cause that's the signal that the fun is nearly over. On the Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, every single GOP and Democrat'll hear those whistles go and the bells go, as the ferry boats are chugging right along,
right along,
right along,
right along. Get aboard when the weather's fine. Take your pick of the ferries on the Black Ball Line.
There's the Illihi and the Chippewa
and the Killiute, the Kalakala.
You'll find all these on the Black Ball Line.
The Klahani,
the Nisqually,
there's the Malahat.
Well, think of that.
The Klingitat.
There goes my hat.
The S.S. City of Sacramento.
What are we doing down in California?
On the Black Ball Ferry Line, to be specific, while the whistles go and the bells go and the ferry boats are chugging right along,
right along,
right along,
right along. Down in the engine room, the boilers hum a tune, they're singing love and boom with deep emotion.
And on the deck above, each happy pair in love is holding hands and dreaming that they own the ocean.
On the Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, every single GOP and Democrat will hear the whistles go and the bells go,
and the ferry boats are chugging right along,
right along,
right along,
right along. Oh, the ferry boats are
chug-a-lug-a-lug-a-na.
Pull a ferry boat to chug-a-chug-a-na.
Ferry boat to chug-a-chug-a-na-la.
Kelly never knew exactly when it was that he decided to kill her. Thinking it over afterwards, he realized that murder is something like a pot boiling over. The fire's underneath for a long time and nothing happens. Then all at once, the heat reaches a certain point and there it blows. And you look back in horror to find you killed someone. The odd thing, of course, was that right to the end, it wasn't that he hated Janet. She had a kind of charm. She was capable. And she was attractive enough that, on the right kind of a spring day, with the sunlight filtering through the leaves of an oak tree, hitting her face just right, a fellow like Kelly might think he was in love with her. At least, that's how it started 3 years ago.
Kelly?
Yes?
Another sandwich?
Oh, no. No thanks, Janice. I'm full up.
What's happened to your appetite?
I don't know. Maybe it's a symptom.
Oh?
Will you do something for me, Janice?
What, darling?
Tell me something, honestly.
All right.
I came to this town out of nowhere, really. I'm a failure, 29 years old, been fired from the greatest assortment of jobs in captivity. I meet you at a party. From then on, everything's different.
Is it, Kelly?
Yeah, sure. You gave me a build-up with your boss at the Star Realty Company. He puts me on as a salesman. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I'm a success. Why?
Well, it's simple. You're a good salesman.
No, that's not what I mean. What I want to know is, why did you do it for me?
Oh.
Now, you said you'd be honest.
Oh, maybe I have the interests of the Star Realty Company at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just like you. Come on, have another sandwich. I don't want to take them back.
All right.
I want to go over the escrow papers on that Williamson deal again.
Oh, no, not now. Don't you ever relax?
Well, I'm relaxed.
Come on, come on. Lean back and take your glasses off.
Oh, all right, all right. That better?
Mm-hmm. You ought to take them off more often.
I'm blind as a bat without them.
What's the difference? You're not looking at the wolves. They're looking at you.
Like they're looking at
me? Oh, they better not. I don't want anybody else to look at you like this.
Don't talk like that, Janice. Not unless you really mean it.
I do mean it, Janice. I'm crazy about you. Oh, I know I'm not much of a guy, and I'll never know why you bothered with me. But, Janice, I want to marry you. You won't be sorry. I'll work hard and be a success.
That's enough, Kelly.
Oh, please, please listen to me.
I heard all I want to hear when you said you loved me. Aren't you going to kiss me, darling?
Just like that, Kelly. A boy, a girl, a picnic on a green knoll at the edge of town, and it's over. She's Janice Jameson now. You have a small home together, and each morning you commute to town in your jobs with the Star Realty Company. But Janice isn't satisfied, Kelly. She talks of nothing but of the two of you in business together, Jameson and Jameson Real Estate Brokers. It would take more than you could ever save on your salaries, of course. And it was about then you began to wonder if she'd ever be satisfied. Perhaps it was then, too, that the fire began to burn under the kettle, and the temperature slowly but surely started to rise.
And here's a letter for Kennelly and Botsworth. Gentlemen, with reference to the lease on the property at Lilium Way and Gladstone Boulevard, we are informed that the present holder is perfectly... Huh? Oh, yes, Janice?
Could I speak to you for a moment?
Well, I'm tied up. Couldn't it wait?
No, please, right now.
All right. Excuse me, Miss Eldridge. Now, what's it all about?
Kelly, our chance has come.
What are you talking about?
Jameson and Jameson, remember?
Oh, that. All right, Janice. What do we use for money?
Oh, look at the teletype from New York offering $40,000 for the corner of 8th and Maple.
But Knowles has an option on that corner for 30, hasn't he?
Did have, you mean? It expired yesterday.
But shouldn't we tell Knowles, give him a chance
to... He won't be back until next Wednesday. Well, there's no way I can get in touch with him. Honest, darling, Knowles will be tickled pink when he knows he's grabbed his chance to start on our own. He's a big man, more ways than one.
I know, that's
Listen, Kelly, I tried my best to get Knowles to renew his option. He said that corner would never be worth anything. Just $10,000 for it. On a $1,500 investment. Now, you run right down to the bank and get a certified check. I'll teletype New York that Knowles no longer holds the option.
Well, I hope you know what you're doing.
Oh, I do know, and I know something else, too.
Hmm?
In a few days, we'll have a brand new office with a nice glass door in Jameson & Jameson. And sign that Jameson & Jameson, that's all.
Jameson & Jameson. Mm-hmm. I'll have it right out.
You made a slight error, Janice.
What?
Not Jameson and Jameson. Jameson and Stooge.
Please. Kelly, let's not get into that again.
Why not?
Here.
Why not? Let's be honest. You've got the brains. I run the errand. You set up the deals on paper. I go through the motions.
Well, that's not true.
This Brewster deal, for instance. A nice, clean little deal. I'm all set to handle it myself.
Kelly, you're just being silly. There were just a few things you hadn't considered. I thought it might help if I wrote them out for you. That's all.
There's something I don't think you realize yet, Angel. I'm really not a backward kid at all. Why, you act like I'm not quite right.
You're wrong, Kelly. I think you're the best salesman in the business.
Nah.
Besides, you're my husband. I love you. Now, what difference does it make which one of us does?
None. But why can't you give me credit for some intelligence once in a while?
Listen.
Why, you're not my wife anymore. You're a business machine.
Darling.
As cold as a piece of steel.
You don't realize what you're saying.
Sit down. I'm not through.
Kelly, no.
For once, you're going to listen. I'm your husband, Janice. Kelly, your business partner.
Please.
Not a pet spaniel you lead around on a leash.
Kelly. Oh.
Janice. Janice. Oh, Janice, I'm sorry. Oh, good Lord. This is Mr. Jameson. Get a doctor up here. Hurry. I think Mrs. Jameson had a heart attack.
Looking down at her now, you have a queer sense of guilt when you realize that you've actually been wishing something like this would happen. Anything to free you, give you back your independence and self-respect. Yes, Kelly, you're sorry and ashamed. And you almost take the kettle off the fire before it reaches the boiling point. Particularly as you hear the doctor telling you it was a heart attack. That Janice will have to stay in bed and rest, with a day nurse in attendance. But that's what changes it all right back again. The nurse's name is Vera. And there's something like music in the deep, cloudy blue of her eyes. Something about her voice. The youthful grace of her that sets your heart racing makes you think that here is everything you missed in your marriage to Janet.
Good morning, Vera. How's the patient?
I just don't know, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly.
Mr. Jameson.
Check.
She seems to think the doctor's all wrong, that it's silly to think of heart trouble at her age.
Well, that's the way she is.
Well, something has to be done about it. She says it's all foolish and that she's going to get up and go back to work.
I know. I've been over that with her several times.
Well, you ought to talk to her, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly, what good would it do for me to talk to her?
Well, after all, you are her husband.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder.
What do you mean?
Oh, stupid.
Kelly, is that you?
Yes, Janice. I'm coming.
It was sweet of you to take me home, Mr. Jameson.
Kelly.
Why do you keep insisting that I call you Kelly?
Do I?
Every night you've taken me home. How long has it been now? 3 weeks? 4?
23 days.
Oh, did you keep a record of it?
Uh-huh. In the back of my head. If you want details, I can tell you what happened on every one of those days, too.
You have a very good memory.
It's easy. When you have a reason to remember.
You ought to go on the stage. Professor Jameson's Memory Act or something. Well, I'd better go in now.
Oh, no, please. Just a minute more.
I've got some work to do. I might go on another case soon. And
another case? Vera, what are you talking about?
Well, I won't be on this one forever, you know.
But Vera, it's out of the question. She's a sick woman alone in the house and... Oh, why lie about it?
I think you know why I'm talking this way, Vera.
Yes, I do.
I love you.
I'd better go in.
Oh, no. No, Vera, I...
Kelly, please.
Vera, darling.
Kelly.
I know.
If only you were free.
I'll be free, Vera. I'll...
What do you mean, Kelly?
I don't know, Vera. I don't know.
It was strange, Kelly. You didn't know it, but that night in the car, the last night you took Vera home, a murder was taking shape. A murder made of several things. Of your love for Vera, of Jameson and Jameson, and $20,000 in the company account. And naturally, of Janet. She'd never give you up, Kelly. You're sure of that. And the next day, as you sit alone in your office, you're wondering about alternatives. Puzzled. Even a little frightened by the sudden, impulsive thing that popped into your head as you said goodnight to Vera.
I'll be free, Vera. I'll...
What do you mean, Kelly?
Yes, Kelly. What did you mean? You thrust it out of your mind, try to concentrate on the stack of letters in your desk, and then just before noon...
Jameson speaking.
Well, Kelly, this is Mac.
Oh, hi, Mac. What's on your mind?
I've been trying to reach you people. I may have run onto something. Not sure.
Well, what is it?
Well, I had dinner last night with one of the lawyers from Mayberry and Company.
Yeah?
He had a few drinks and sort of got to talking.
Oh, about what?
A property deal. It seems that Mayberry and Company are going to put up a 6-story branch on the corner of 84th and Pine.
What? Why, that's way out in the middle of nowhere.
It's straight stuff, Kelly.
I say, anybody else know about this?
I don't think so. The whole thing's been on the QT. They pick up that corner for a song. Wish I'd had it.
Well, never mind that. Maybe the surrounding property will go for the same kind of a song.
Yeah, that's what I wondered about.
Why, in a year, maybe 18 months, there'll be a whole community out there. And if we had the lots, why the sky's the limit.
You think so?
Oh, no doubt about it. Gee, I'm glad you called me, Mac.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to talk to Janice, Kelly. If she thinks it sounds
Janice isn't well, you know that.
Yeah.
Now, look, we'll have to move fast on this, Mac. I'll tell you what we'll do.
Wait a minute, Kelly. Not that fast. It's a $40,000 investment. I'm not going ahead until we have her opinion.
What's the matter with you? I'm running the office now.
Maybe, maybe not. This is a big thing, Kelly.
I realize that, Mac.
You're lucky to have someone like Janice to turn to.
Yeah, but Mac, I...
Listen, either talk it over with her or count me out, Kelly. I have a lot of faith.
Skip it. I'll get back to you.
Okay, I'll be waiting.
Oh, Janice. What does he take me for? I'll go ahead with it alone if he doesn't want to... What? Janice.
Surprise. Am I interrupting something big?
Well, never mind that. What are you doing here? I thought that...
I belonged in bed. I know, Dr. Allen thought the same thing. But today he had to admit it was all brought on by strain, overwork. The rest did it. I'm fit as a fiddle.
Yeah, but
I'm back on the job, that's all. Aren't you glad, darling?
Why, of course, naturally. But what about Vera?
What about Vera? Well, I dismissed her. Is that what you mean?
Well, do you think it was the wise thing to do?
Don't you? Now I'm well. I certainly don't need a nurse. Tell me, what are you so excited about? Who are you talking to?
Oh, it wasn't anything.
Oh, now don't tell me that. You're bursting with it. Come on, you got a hot tip. Well, tell me about it, darling. Who's buying what from who, and who thinks we ought to be in on it?
I tell you, it's nothing, Janice. All right. It was Mac.
Oh?
Yeah, listen. Mayberry and Company are building at 84th and Pine. We've got a chance to buy the surrounding lots.
And you're all for it.
Well, who wouldn't be?
Me.
What? Well, now, wait a minute. This is the biggest thing that's ever hit this office.
It sure is, and it could knock us flat. No, we're not going into it without examining
it. But there isn't time.
Then it isn't a deal.
Isn't a deal? Janice, do you realize what you're saying?
Well, I think so. If we can't look before we leap, it's not for us, Kelly. I suppose Mac has it wrong. What if they don't deal? Then we're left with a row of weed-covered lots that'll never be worth a thing.
Yeah, but if they do build...
It's a mighty big if. Now, where did Mac hear about it?
Oh, one of their lawyers. He had dinner with them. The guy started talking.
Why?
What do you mean, why? He had some drinks, that's why.
Are you sure? How well does Mac know?
Oh, for the love of...
How do we know it wasn't a setup to get all of us worrying about the 84th Street section while they quietly buy up things somewhere else in town?
Janice, you have to take chances sometimes.
Sure you do. I've taken plenty of chances. But not with everything we've got.
But we might make enough to pull out to forget the whole business.
Is that what you want to do, Kelly?
What do you mean? Why don't you say what's on your mind? That you're as suspicious of me as you are of every one of your deals. It's
Kelly,
the truth, Janice.
Oh, you're wrong, darling. I've always trusted you. Even while I was ill. If you think I'm suspicious of you, there must be a reason.
Maybe there is.
No, you don't mean that. Listen, Kelly. It was 2 years ago today we bought the cabin. Do you remember?
Yes, and we've been up there once since.
Let's go once more, Kelly, right now. Right away.
Oh, but what about the Mayberry deal? Mac is waiting to
hear
from us.
Let's forget that. At least till we get back from the cabin. Maybe we can think more clearly up there. And when we come back, we may feel differently about a lot of things.
I don't know. I'm supposed to drive out to the Paxtons tomorrow. They want an appraisal on the ranch. Maybe some other time, Janice.
You can go by the Paxtons, too. From their place, you can come up the back road to the cabin.
Huh?
I'll drive up the main road and meet you there tomorrow afternoon.
What time?
2 o'clock, Kelly.
All right, Janice. 2 o'clock at the cabin. I'll be waiting for you.
At the moment you agree to meet Janice, the kettle is beginning to boil, isn't it, Kelly? The first tiny bubbles are rising dangerously close to the rim, threatening to pour over, and there's no way to stop them. It's the same the next day as you drive up to the cabin. And grinding up the narrow mountain road, you admit to yourself that the Paxton Ranch was just an excuse, that you weren't even thinking of keeping your appointment there. You were thinking of an old wooden bridge. A bridge over a 200-foot drop, straight down. A bridge that Janice would have to cross to reach the cabin. What you have to do is simple. A few bolts removed from the right places and the bridge is ready. It loosened ancient support, certain to give way under the weight of the next car to cross. You stand at the brink for a moment looking down, then walk back to the cabin. Approaching the porch, you stop suddenly, staring. Mac's car is there, parked next to yours. You move forward stiffly, slowly, wondering if Mac saw you at the bridge. At the door, you take a deep breath and brace yourself before going inside.
Well, decided to come back, huh?
Oh, hello, Mac.
Didn't think it'd be long.
You mean you saw me when you drove up?
No, just saw that good scotch on the table.
Oh, yeah. I was just out back checking the wood supply.
Oh.
Hey, what brings you up here, Mac? I should think you'd be in town, hard after that deal.
Well, the town end of it's okay, Kelly, under control. All I need is your signature.
What?
Tried to catch you at the Paxton place, but you didn't show, so I figured you'd decided to skip it.
Oh, yeah. I thought it could keep.
Sure, but the Mayberry thing can't. Here, sign this thing and I'll be on my way.
Oh, Mac, I meant to get back to you. I talked to Janice, and she isn't interested.
What? Well, that's not what she told me.
What? You talked to her?
This morning. She was worried about my tip, but that lawyer's a good friend of mine. She's convinced.
And she signed already?
Uh-huh. Now you, okay?
Well, sure, okay. Certainly, give me the pen. Right here?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, there you are.
Good.
And now you better get back. We don't want any slip-ups, huh? You came up the back road, didn't you?
Yeah, but I'll go back by the front road. It's faster.
Oh, I don't think so, Mac. I'd take the other way.
No, I'm in a hurry.
But
what?
Look, Mac. Look, do me a favor before you go, will you, fella? Run over these papers on the Paxton property. See if you think my ideas are right.
Gosh, I don't know. Didn't Janice go over
them? Oh, yeah, sure. But Paxton's a pretty tough guy to handle, and I'll need all the ideas I can get. Look it over, will you? I'll be right back.
You're trembling as you go out of the door, aren't you, Kelly? Because everything is ruined if you can't talk Mac out of driving down the front road and over the bridge. You've got to stop him, or keep him from leaving at all. You wanted to get rid of him, wanted to tell your own story of the accident. But now you have to settle for the next best thing. If only you can keep him here, if there's something you can do. You glance at his car, parked next to yours. Hurry over to it, lift the hood. It won't take a minute to fix it so the car won't start. You just get the hood down again as Mac comes out of the cabin waving the papers.
Hey, these look fine to me, Kelly. I'd say you covered all the angles.
Oh, you think so?
As far as I can see. Here, I better be on my way. Can't let any grass grow under our feet on this one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah. But, oh, what's the matter with this thing? I'm sure it's got gas.
Well, maybe there's a vapor lock in the gas line.
Oh, no, she ought to start. I'd better have a look.
Hey, listen, Mac.
Huh?
Listen, that sounds like a car coming up the front road.
Oh, it is a car. Well, that settles it. I gotta wait a little while now. One-way road, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right, Mac. You just have to wait. I guess it's Janice. She's meeting me here this afternoon. Supposed to get here about 2.
Oh, that reminds me, Kelly. I forgot to talk.
Hey, Matt.
Huh?
Mac, that's not Janice's car.
No, it isn't, is it? Here, Kelly, I meant to give you this.
Hey, Mac! Mac, that's Vera's car.
Okay, so it's Vera. Maybe this...
Come on. We've got to stop her, Mac. She'll go through the bridge.
What are you talking about?
It's a trap. I thought Janice would be driving up, and I weakened the supports.
You planned that?
Yes, Janice? Yes. Help me, Mac. Help me. Vera! Stop! Stop!
Yes, Kelly, it was strange, wasn't it? The way it sneaked up on you. The way the temperature rose slowly, quietly, to the boiling point. Now with the temperature back at 0, Vera lies dead in the wreckage at the bottom of the gorge beneath the bridge. The bridge whose supports you'd hacked away to trap Janice, your wife, so you'd be free to marry Vera. And as you stare down in fascinated horror, the words of Mac begin to penetrate the cloud of fog surrounding your brain.
If you hadn't been so insistent on my going over those Paxton papers, this might not have happened.
Paxton papers?
That's right. I had a note for you from Janice.
Janice?
Yeah, she decided not to come and asked me to deliver this when I got here. Every time I try to tell you about it, you interrupted me. Here, you'd better read it while I phone the police.
The police? Oh, wait a minute, Matt.
I can't wait, Kelly. I've got to report a murder. Better take a look at Janice's note.
Yes. I guess I had, Mac. Why not? Dear Kelly, I decided not to meet you at the cabin. For a long time, I felt you no longer loved me. Now I'm sure. I had it out with Vera after you left yesterday. At first, she denied everything. Then admitted the two of you were in love. I was tempted to tell her she couldn't have you. Then I realized you weren't worth the fight. So I'm going to Reno, and you'll be free. I have an idea Vera will join you at the cabin. She's your kind, Kelly. I hope you both will be happy. Janet.
Valley 103.1 FM.
Suspense.
Front, boy. Front. Will you take Mr. Brown to 314?
Yes, sir.
I want a room.
The name, sir?
George Javery, but I haven't got reservations.
Oh? Well, I think we can fix you up, Mr. Javery, if you'll sign, please.
Sure.
Excuse me, friend.
Yes?
I couldn't help hearing your name, Javery, hmm?
Well, that's right.
In relation to Frank Javery of Cincinnati?
Well, not that I know of.
Oh. Kind of a funny name. No offense, you understand, but I just thought, you know.
Sure, I know.
Been doing quite a lot of traveling, haven't you, Mr. Javery?
Huh?
I see all them stickers on your bags.
Oh, yes, I've been out of the country.
Room 610, 450 a day. Will that be all right, Mr. Javery?
Sure.
You gonna stay in Reno very long?
Just overnight.
Going east?
Uh-huh.
You driving?
Yeah. Say, what do you want to know?
Thought I'd tip you off to a good place to eat, see? You like steaks?
When I can get them.
Better stop at Harry's place, then. Best steaks between here and Chicago. Here's the address. I wrote it down for another fellow this morning, but he left before I could give it to him.
Well, thanks.
You driving back east alone?
Yes. Say, what did you say your name was?
I didn't, but it's Brown. Steve Brown.
Well, look, Mr. Brown, if you want a free ride east, why don't you just...
No. I'm heading up to Portland, see?
Oh, well. Well, have a good trip, Mr. Brown.
Same to you, Mr. Javery.
Thanks.
Don't forget to stop at Harry's place, Mr. Javery. I think you'll find it a very interesting spot. Very interesting.
Mr. Javery.
What is it?
Did you notice a fellow with only one arm?
No, where?
I didn't think you did. He said he was a friend of yours, but don't have nothing to do with him, Mr. Javery. He's no friend of yours. He's no friend of anybody. Don't have nothing to do with him.
Oh, here's your drink, Mr. Javery.
Thanks.
Oh, did your friend find you, Mr. Javery?
What friend?
One-armed fella. He was looking for you. He said I should keep my eye out for you.
A one-armed man, Mr. Javery? I know. There's no guest at the hotel that answers that description.
I tell you, I seen him coming out of your room, Mr. Javery. I don't know how he got in there, but I seen him coming out.
You heard me. I'm checking out.
If there's anything wrong...
No, there's nothing wrong. I'm just checking out, that's all.
But at 3 o'clock in the morning...
Look, I said I'm checking out. Now, please get my bags out to the car. Just put them in the back of the car.
Yes, sir.
Now, look, kid. For the last time, do you know?
I don't know nothing, Mr. Javery. Honest, I don't know nothing.
Okay, here.
Look, here he comes now.
Hey, wait a minute.
Thanks, Mr. Javery.
You going east, mister?
Oh, it's you, huh? Say, what's the big idea?
What big idea?
Now, listen to me, my one-armed friend.
I can't help having one arm, mister.
All right. But what's the idea of following me around? You've been following me ever since I got here.
Oh, but I'm sorry about that, mister.
So am I. Now, what about it?
Well, you see, I'm kind of down on my luck, so I'm hitchhiking. I got to get east, and I heard you were going east, so...
Oh.
You are going east, ain't you, mister?
Well, yes. Yes, I am.
Do you mind if I come along a piece?
Oh, all right, hop in. Say, there's one thing you haven't explained to me yet.
What's that?
What were you doing in my room? Hitchhiking?
I was never in your room.
The bellboy said he saw you come out.
I don't know what he said, but I was never in your room.
Oh. It's kind of late to start driving, I guess.
I don't mind. I'm used to night work.
Oh. Say, I don't think I got your name.
Jones. One arm Jones, they call me mostly.
You traveling far, Mr. Jones?
As far as St. Louis.
Uh-huh. Have you been in San Francisco lately?
No, I came by way of San Diego. Why do you ask, Mr. Javery?
Oh, nothing. I thought I might have seen it.
What's the matter?
How did you know my name?
Your name? That's an old hitchhiker's gag. Hang around a hotel lobby and find out who's who and maybe where's heading, see?
Yeah.
Say, there doesn't seem to be much traffic tonight, does there?
No. Are you looking for something?
Oh, just reaching for a cigar.
Get your hand out of your pocket.
I was only...
Get it out, I said.
You don't have to pull a gun
on me. No! All right, Mr. Jones. Come on, let's have it. What's your game?
Game?
Yeah, your game. Come on, spill it.
I don't get it.
Neither do I. I suppose you haven't been tailing me ever since I checked into that hotel.
Well, I explained about the hitchhike.
Get out.
Out of the car?
You heard me.
Okay. But, Mr. Javery...
What?
Don't be too surprised if you see me again sometime. Good night, Mr. Javery.
All right, put him up. Come on, get him up and step out in front of those headlights where I can see you. Come on, before
don't
I let you...
shoot, mister.
Well, I'll... what do you want?
Not to get shot, right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kind of jumpy, aren't you?
Yeah, maybe. Were you going into this joint here?
Well, I was.
Well, come on, I'll buy you a cup of coffee.
I think I earned it at that.
Well, howdy, folks. Good to see somebody. I'm kind of late, eh?
Yeah. Black coffee, huh? How about you?
The same, I guess.
Look, I'm sorry I frightened you. Say, what's your name?
Eileen. Eileen Harrison. What's yours?
George Javery. Say, what are you doing walking along a million miles from no place at this time of night?
I started driving east in the $50 jalopy yesterday like a fool. It just fell apart on me. I was coming in here to phone or something.
Oh, how far east you going?
Greenwich, Connecticut.
I'm going to New York myself. You're welcome. I mean, if...
Well, I...
Oh, look, if you don't like me, you can always get out and start to walk again. What have you got to lose?
Well, all right. Thanks.
And I could use a little company right now.
Well, here you are. Piece of pie? Piece of pie, bud?
Huh? Oh, no.
How about a hamburger? We got good hamburgers, you know. We got...
No. Just be quiet a minute, will you?
Be quiet?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
Shh. Shut up, now, the two of you.
Sure, anything you say.
Say, what's the matter with you?
I'm listening for something, that's all.
What?
There he comes.
Hey, where are you going?
That wasn't it.
You know, what's going on, bud? You hot or something?
No, there's a car out there. It's been following me for the last 200 miles.
Yeah? How'd you know?
I know it. I took a side road. He did, too. I tried to duck him, and he hung on. He kept following me. I'm sure that... Listen, that must be it now. He's not coming in. He's waiting.
For what?
Me. Look, Eileen, here are the keys to the car. Go out and drive it up the side entrance. I'll be waiting at the door.
All right.
No, go ahead. He won't hurt you. Hurry.
Okay.
Hey, mister, you ain't in trouble, are you? I don't want no trouble in my place.
Keep your shirt on. You'll be all right. Here.
Don't you want your change?
No, keep it.
Hop in. I'll slide over.
Thanks. Look back now, though. Seriously, that other car follows.
I don't think so. Say, look, pal, I don't want to be nosy, but...
Eileen, I wouldn't kid you. I don't know what it is. Is anyone following us?
No, I don't think so. Uh-oh.
Lights.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's someone following us.
No? How fast are we going now?
About 60.
All right, watch.
Hey, please, be careful, George.
I'll be careful. Is he coming?
I think he's gaining on us.
Yeah, I thought so. Well, we'll see how much this guy wants to play.
He had a pretty big car, you know.
Yeah, I know. Is he still gaining?
He's closing up pretty fast.
Oh, I can't stand this much longer, and I'm going to do something about it.
What are you going
to
do?
I'm going to pull to one side, slam on the brakes, and see what happens.
George!
I'll force him into the ditch if I have to. It's what he's trying to do to us. Hang on.
George! He's passing. We're going
to
hit him.
I'm trying to. Come on, let's get out of here.
He must have been killed.
Yeah. Did you see him as we hit?
Just for a second.
Did you notice anything about him?
Not much.
Well, I did. He was a man with only one arm. Well, this is that Harry's place that guy told me about. You sure you like steak?
Who doesn't?
Well, this is the place for you, then. Finest steaks this side of Chicago, they tell me. Come on.
Hey, Table for two, sir?
Yeah, please.
Right this way.
The whole thing amounts to this.
Right here. Here's a nice table right by the window.
That's fine, thanks.
And, madame?
Thank you.
Two steaks, please. Both medium rare. All right?
Yes,
right.
Sir. Thank you, sir.
George, to get back to our little problem.
Our little problem?
All right, so it's your problem and I'm stuck with it. Are you sure you don't have any enemies?
How could I have been out of the country for over a year? I didn't have any when I left.
Well, could there be any connection with that work you were doing with the Chinese government?
Oh, not a chance. Well, look, I don't know any secret plans, and I have no agent X9. Well, all that's out.
Well, maybe it's all just a coincidence.
Oh, sure. A one-armed guy tags me all over Reno, then says he's a poor hitchhiker. Then he acts like he's trying to pull a stick up, and then 100 miles beyond where I've dropped him, he shows up in a big Cadillac. Just a coincidence.
Call for Mr. Javery.
George.
Telephone for Mr. Javery. Call for George Javery.
Yeah. Another coincidence.
What do you suppose?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out.
George, don't.
Come on, we'll both go answer it.
Are you Mr. Javery?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. They've been trying to reach you all day.
All day?
Yes, this is about the 10th call we've had for you. The phone booth is right this way.
One little coincidence after another. Calling me all day at a joint I've never been in before in my life.
George, don't answer it.
Well, look, you just keep an eye out while I'm in the booth.
All right.
Pardon me.
Why, of course.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Can I help you, sir?
Why, yes, I had a call on this wire, but...
I'm sorry, but your party seems to have disconnected. Did you call them?
No, forget it.
What was it, George?
Come on, let's go out to the car.
Well, what was it?
I don't know. Whoever it was, as soon as I answered, they hung up. Come on. Come on, there's a guy following us. The guy I bumped into at the phone booth. Oh. That's what that phone call was for. Get in the car, quick.
Here he comes.
Oh, Mr. Javery.
George, he's pointing something.
It's a camera.
Thanks, Mr. Javery.
Hey, what's the idea of taking pictures of me?
It's a hobby. I'll send you a print at the morgue.
One of the really bright spots of old Chicago.
Yeah, a little too bright.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present, direct from 10 weeks run in New York, the world-famed sharpshooter, Professor Glidenheimer.
This is going to be all right, George. He's good. I saw his act in Hollywood. He's quite a comedian.
Well, that's swell. A little comedy had come in handy now.
George, you promised me. Come on, relax.
Okay.
He shoots at the light bulbs, and whether he hits them or not, they always break.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, blindfolded.
He didn't even aim at it.
Sure, that's the point. Lady was going to shoot straight up, and the bulbs in the back of him will break.
And now over my shoulder, the left shoulder. No, it's the right shoulder. That's harder yet.
It's funny, isn't it? George, your glass, it's shattered.
Come on, Eileen, we're leaving.
Please, ladies and gentlemen, please. The performance will continue. Keep proceeding, please. Oh, please,
wait, sir. Don't leave. I'm terribly sorry. Won't you stay and finish your dinner? Please, sir, our apologies. A most regrettable accident.
Yeah? Only it wasn't.
Wasn't?
Wasn't an accident. That comic up there shoots blank cartridges.
Well, of course, but...
Yes, and what broke my glass was a bullet. And it didn't come from the stage.
$1. Thank you.
Good old Bear Mountain Bridge. Well, we're almost there.
Yep. With any luck, we ought to be in New York by 10 o'clock.
And the way you've been driving, I don't see how anyone could have followed us.
Oh, why do you think I was driving that way?
Gee, it's a beautiful night. Look at that moon.
Yeah. Let's stop a minute.
Why?
Oh, I don't know, just to look down at the water.
All right.
It's been a long time since I've seen the old Hudson River. I guess I better turn off the lights. I'm not sure I'm allowed to stop in the middle of the bridge.
Come over here by the rail, George. Gosh, isn't it lovely?
Yeah, it really is. Oh, look at that boat down there. It looks a little... I wonder how far it is down to that water from here. Oh, I guess about 150 feet or so.
I'm awfully glad you decided to come this way. Why didn't you?
Oh, it's less traffic and not as many cars as on the George Washington Bridge or the tunnel, and, well, there's less chance of being spotted.
You still thinking of that?
It's kind of hard to forget, isn't it?
Just the same, I wish you would. It's not doing
me... Look.
What?
It's a car, and it looks like it's going to pull up behind us.
George,
I don't know, but if some monkey's looking for trouble, he's going to get it because I've had enough.
What are you going to do?
Now, look, I'll crouch down in front of the car here where he can't see me. He'll pull up behind us so his headlights will be on us if he's up to anything funny.
Now, he's beginning to pull over now.
Now, look, okay. You talk to him. Stall him. Then we'll see.
All right. But, George...
Hey, don't you know you're not allowed to stop in the middle of the bridge?
Why? I just stopped a minute to look at the water.
You alone?
Why, yes.
I thought I saw a man standing here with you just now.
No.
There's a California plate on your car, ain't there?
Yes, I just drove through from the coast. Huh.
You pick up any hitchhikers on the way? Anybody that looks like this?
Like what?
Like the guy in this picture.
Well, that's the picture someone took at...
I thought so. All right, sister, where is he?
Right here, bud.
George, look out, he's got a gun.
Why, you... Now, let's see how good you are without a gun.
George, the railing, he's trying to throw you over. He's... George!
Come on, kid, let's go. Well, we made it. Home at last.
Home? This is the Bancroft Hotel.
The only home I ever had in New York.
Boy, take these bags. Now, sir, if you leave the key, I'll have your car garage for you.
Yeah, sure, here. Yeah.
Thank you.
George, I could go home, you know.
What? Travel out to Connecticut this time of night?
It isn't that far.
Come on, you get a good night's rest right here. Then you can catch an early train in the morning.
Well, all right.
Yes, sir. You'll wish a room then, sir?
Two rooms, please.
Yes, sir. Will you sign here, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. J... Oh, Mr. George Javery.
What about it?
Nothing, sir. Only we have your reservations.
Reservation? But I... Oh, I get it. Another coincidence.
Sir?
Skip it.
George...
Eileen, look, maybe you're right. You better go on home.
George, you're coming home with me.
I'm sorry, Eileen, but this is journey's end, and I'm going to see it through.
Well, then, so am I.
Eileen.
Please, George.
Okay, come on. Well, what do you know?
What?
Our friend sitting over there by that post.
The man who took the picture.
Yeah. Last act coming up. Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir.
What room do I have?
706, sir.
That's fine. The lady?
Yes, sir. Room 614 for her. Front boy.
This way, Mr. Javery.
Going up?
Six, please.
George, shouldn't you call the police or something?
And tell them what?
Oh, I don't know.
Now, look, honey, you get a good night's sleep. I'll be okay. I mean, after all, this is New York.
Six out.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Servant?
It's right this way, sir, to the left. Here we are, sir.
Just put the bags over there, son.
Will that be all, sir?
Yeah, here you are.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, George Javery.
Took you longer than I expected.
Brown, a man I met in Reno. What are you doing here?
Working for you. And the name ain't Brown, that's Javery.
Javery?
Yeah, George Javery. Javery, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me.
What I've done for you?
Sure, you've been a great help.
All right, let's have it.
Look, Javery, you've come to the end of the road. But I think you're entitled to know why. You don't know me, do you? I'm Bill Malone.
Oh, Scarface Malone.
Yeah, only I don't have scars anymore, see? That's the point. Took me 2 years and a lot of pain to get a new face. And I didn't get it just to look good in a coffin. Know what I mean?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
After a guy in my business has been away for a year or two, he's not always welcome back, see? And he generally finds out about it with a bullet in the back. That's why you struck me as a good idea.
Oh, I did I?
Yeah. I don't believe in taking chances, see? The boys thought I was coming east under the name of George Javery.
Oh, so the one-armed guy and all the rest...
No, he was one of my boys. And you were kind of rough with him, Mr. Javery.
Well, he wasn't exactly playing beanbag himself.
Jerry, he wouldn't hurt you. I just sent him to tell you so I'd have a line on where you were. After you dusted him off, it was just a break for me that you went to that steakhouse. Otherwise, I might have lost you.
A candid cameraman, too, I suppose.
Yeah. After I lost Jerry, I figured I wouldn't take any chances. Send a picture around to the boys. Like the guy that took a pot at you in Chicago. And the guy you tossed over the bridge. The boys that were out to get me, see? Only they didn't know all the time it was you. No chances, know what I mean?
Yeah. Only I can't exactly say I'm glad to have been of service. So if you drop that gun, I'll go.
Not yet, Javery. There's just one thing more you can do.
Yeah?
Stand over by that window.
What for?
Stand over there and drop your hands. Boys wouldn't quite understand it if you had your hands up.
The boys?
Yeah. The ones I've been telling you about. When I pull up that shade, they're going to take a pot shot at me through that window. When they do, they'll get me. Only it'll be you. They'll never know the difference. Now, over to that window. They know you're already here, so move.
You don't mind if I sort of stroll, do you? After all, this is a surprise.
Come on. Over to that window.
And if I don't?
I'll plug you.
And if I do? You see, Malone, that's the trouble with your system. No incentive. You know what I...
Don't make a move.
George, is anything wrong? George!
Get over there in that corner.
Don't hurt her, Malone.
Just gonna lock the door, that's all. Taking no chances, see?
Then here's some light so you can see what you're doing.
What are you...
Oh. Oh, it's all right, Arlene. It's all right, darling. No. Well, there lies our nemesis, the late Mr. Scarface Malone, otherwise known as the guy who never took chances.
But he's dead.
Yeah, smart guy. But he made just one mistake. He forgot that the door is right in line of fire with the window.
George... What are you going to do?
I'm going to call the police and explain this little drama to them. After all, I think it's about time people stop taking pot shots at your future husband. Don't you?
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.